really having a pen problem.
You are, aren't you? Right. You've got a pen that works, because I've got a pen here, if you like.
Okay. Yeah? I hope this one works.
Okay, well, is that one? I'll stick that one there, so if you need it, you can just use it. What we've just been doing, really, I suppose what we've been doing, really, for the last few years is using different frameworks to help ourselves connect with the deeper parts of ourselves. One framework is the poem and the mound. And that's all about the energy of descent. Descent and return. The intention or the energy of the angels is slightly different. It connects. If we look at the picture I've just given you, you can see we're in this. We're connected to the mound because, of course, the mound is underneath us. We're working with the deep energies of the earth. But what we're also doing in this exercise is paying attention to the space around us and the space above us, and looking at the image of center and circumference. So this is a practice, it's all about bringing things together. This is the alchemical practice of bringing things together. In a way, it's not really separate from the process of the poem, because in the poem you bring together the cauldron and the sword, or you come to the castle where opposites come together. But it's just an alternative way of expressing it. Now, the particular exercise comes out of a Kabbalistic work called Esh Metzaref, a Kabbalistic alchemical work, which we don't have to get too deeply into, because what we're trying to do today is look at what's essential. But the phrase Esh Metzaref means the fire that purifies. Now, the fire that purifies is the energy of awareness, is presence. As we become present with things, and as we bring opposites together and we come into that kind of dynamic stillness, things start to change. Now what we do is we create a sort of a vessel of consciousness, in a way. And we're using these two qualities of will and imagination to create a shape that in this instance we're placing around all of us, because we're doing it in a group context. If you were doing it on your own, you'd place yourself at the center, and the room that you're sitting in is the sort of space around you. Now, the thing that's great about the Archangel exercise, and it's connected to the image of the tree in the garden, which I'm going to look at with you this afternoon, comes out of that actually. It's a subdivision of that practice. Is that you? It is very flexible, because it's a simple practice. Because what we're visualizing or feeling or sensing is a sort of a field that brings that joins things together. And it's very simple. Wherever you are, you just come into the you denote some point as the center. It could be your own heart, or if you're doing it in a room, it can be the center of a room, or you could do it for a city and have the center of a city or country or world. So it's an exercise in working with the will and the imagination to create a field around something that joins things together. And to help that happen, we invite in these figures called the archangels. And these figures, these great elemental energetic figures, are found all over the world. Found in Buddhism, they're found in Sufi tradition. They're found in Christian and Judaic traditions, Tibetan traditions. They have different cultural forms. I'm using the Judeo-Christian form when I give them the names Michael, Gabriel, Uriel and Raphael. And but there are these forms, these presences that come and create a field of coherence. This image of their wings wrapping around us, so that we are in they create in a way the alchemical vessel. To use the imagery of the poem, they create the cauldron.
Beautiful.
Coherence, where things connect, things are relevant. Having created that sort of that kind of field, the very first thing that we do is come into stillness and invite the archangels to clear the field, because the practice is about going into still, having in a way created this field of clearing the space for whatever needs to emerge. So the first thing is you clear this field, and then what you do is you align with the sense of center and the central axis. And you bring in the energies of the opposites. You bring in the energy that comes from underneath, the energy that comes from above. So, and the image then is of those fields coming together in a sort of alchemical marriage at the center of the circle. Now, if you're basing it on your body, that would come in at the center of your heart. But you can do it in a room, as it's very flexible. You can do it in all kinds of different situations. But when the new sun comes together, it is like at the beginning of a new universe, almost. This is a new configuration. And what happens is that new energy, which is the energy of fusion, so it's in a sense, because when we do this with the central axis, we've created our own private space, if you like, cleaned that space, and then we're aligning that with the axis of the universe. So, and then as we bring it together, we're allowing the energies of the universe to come into the center of our sphere and reconfigure the whole thing, which happens when this place of fusion happens and the new sun starts to appear. Very often at that point, you get images of opposites, you get experience of opposites and various, and you know, you've been experiencing that. So that place of it's coming together, I feel self-conscious. Or I've got these different tensions happening in my body, and feel a bit pulled around by that. Or I have this powerful thing going on. So what happens to me? I'm cooking this instead of having a peaceful experience. I'm cooking this rage and hatred at myself because I'm angry. So what comes into the sphere at that point are things that are need that kind of alchemical attention. That in a way, and that alchemy, that energy that's there, that is the purifying fire, Esh Metzaref, the awareness, that in a way helps us to dissolve barriers inside ourselves. Because, and it's the point in a way that Pauline made yesterday, about from her teacher about what we don't need power, we need the ability to allow things to move through us. The power is there, there's all the power in the universe, right? The dragon fire from beneath and above is enormous. But what the purifying fire is about is helping us relax and dissolve the obstacles in us that stop that energy flowing freely through us. So that internal energy is not just energetic, it's got lots of layers to us. So the purifying fire really, in that moment, brings together the things that stop us, that confine us. Now, we're back with the image of the spiral and the straight, really, because we've got that central axis is like the straight line. But the actual practice of working with the inner sun is all these levels of the spiral that keep spinning out. So we're in this, this paradoxical place. It's incredibly still. Field gets very still when the new sun arises normally, and it's a very subtle kind of energy that almost works from inside things. Now, if there's a lot going on, often the space can get quite full because it's bringing out things. If you're able to notice, you'll notice that alongside it there is a quite subtle field of stillness that is working gently underneath these things. Now, the two things that it's working on in particular is our deep will and our deep imagination. Now, the text that this practice comes from, this alchemical text, Eshmezarev, it gives us there are two figures that in the beginning of it. One is the prophet Elisha, and the other is this, oddly, it's a Syrian warrior, given the prevalence of Syria these days. It's a Syrian warrior who has got leprosy, who comes for him wanting to be healed. And the man, the warrior, is this great figure, who a great warrior, carries the sword. And he represents the corroded or desensitized will. Now, because the interesting thing about leprosy as a disease, you can't feel. You can't feel pain. You lose sensitivity. All the sores that people get in leprosy isn't because leprosy rots your body. It's because you've lost sensitivity in your body and you keep repetitively hurting yourself. And then you get infections. That's what then causes the body damage. So the man, in a way, represents that part of our will that has become, that is not aware, that is unconscious, and therefore puts us in situations where we continually hurt ourselves and wound ourselves without knowing that we're doing it. It's a very powerful and accurate kind of image for that part of ourselves. The prophet Elisha is an interesting figure. The name Elisha, if you look at the Hebrew, is a combination of the elements of water and fire, and the possibility of transformation. And in the alchemical text, he is said to be related to a quality called Tohu, T-O-H-U, which represents voidness or emptiness or stillness. So Elisha represents this ability, this part of ourselves that is still, that can allow opposites to come together. And the man, who's this warrior figure, comes to him wanting healing. And what Elisha tells him to do is just to immerse himself 7 times in the River Jordan. And he's quite offended at that, because he wants a much more dramatic kind of healing. And he does represent that part, you know, he does really represent that part of us will, which is very fixed and, you know, wants enlightenment, wants to be blown through. Is what Elisha says, no, you just have to immerse yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Now, mythically, the Jordan was the river that used to link the Red Sea with the Dead Sea. It doesn't in actual practice, but that's how they thought of it mythically. Now, the Red Sea is the Sea of Deliverance. It's the sea that the Israelites cross to out of slavery. So it's this place of liberation and freedom and life. The Dead Sea, of course, is the sea where nothing lives. And it's one of the lowest places on earth. So again, the Jordan in this is again this river of awareness that links together opposites. And to immerse yourself in it 7 times that's an alchemical act where you keep on bringing yourself, bringing your difficulties into the deep waters, into the energy of the new sun, really, and just soaking yourself in that. It's got references also in the alchemical text to the immersion of Christ in the Jordan, in the River Jordan, because in the image of the Christian image, it again is an image of opposites coming together, because John the Baptist, who's the wild man from the desert, takes Christ, puts him between the two banks of the Jordan, the east and the west. So you've got he's put in the center of things, the east and the west. And then the river, of course, flows north to south. And then the other thing, so he plunges him down. And the other thing that happens is the dove of the Holy Spirit descends from above. So you've got this dramatic. This is the place where Christ becomes Christ, in a sense, and in a way becomes, in the Christian mythos, becomes the new sun. So it's opposites coming together, and it's the place where the new Christ, who is then becomes in the Christian story, then becomes this powerful, healing, transformative figure. This is the moment where that appears. So the image that's being used here in this Judeo-Christian alchemical text is that you become, so that quality that is Christ-like, that is the Son of Light, you could say, appears as these opposites come together. Now, if we look at the alchemical picture that I've given you, it comes from the Hermetic Museum. It's a graphic image of the exercise. We've got the four elements on the outside. We've got the four angels, and we've got the sphere that's light and dark, and we've got the moon and the sun and the planets above. We've got a reflection of the moon and the planets below, which are, and in some alchemical terms, that's these are the metals that are found in the earth, because the planets, the sun and the moon and the planets.
Sorry, just realised something.
Okay. And what we have is the mound, and we've got these mysterious figures sitting in the mound, and we've got a well going down into the earth. And then we've got these three trees that are growing up out of the mound, going up into space. And again, we've got this constant pattern of opposites. So the three trees come together into the one tree, because you've got these two figures. One's holding, the one on the left's holding the image of fire, the other one's holding the symbol for water. The person in the middle is holding the place where the fire and the water come together. And the inside the mound, we've got this image of the sort of, we've got an Orpheus figure, you can't quite see it, but he's holding a lyre. So he represents that new sun. So the two centre figures represent the two sides of the new sun. We've got the figure above ground that we can see that's holding this sphere of the opposite, and we're holding the new sun. The Orpheus figure in the middle has this lyre where he's sounding a note that brings everything into harmony. So in a way, this picture is a good graphic symbol, if you like, for the exercise that we've just done. And it can be used as a sort of little meditation in its own right. You can imagine yourself stepping into the picture, exploring the inside of the mound, talking to the figures that sit around, talk to the Orpheus figure. You could even go down into the well, or up where you can climb the tree, where you can talk to the figures that are around the circle. And that will tell you more about the exercise that we've done. But its main usefulness, I think, is just to feel, just to look at it and feel just the felt sense of the whole kind of picture.
And is it the oak and the ash and
the thorn? I don't think it literally is that, but it could be that. Yeah, it could certainly. That's how it could certainly appear. There's the red one. Just believe that you can use it. Yeah.
It's getting very cold.
Yes. Yes, there's also, that's right. You've also got images of the three crosses of the crucifixion there. It's a sort of, so there's a lot of associations that kind of come out of that.
I can't understand the fountain with the...
No, it's a well, really. It's not really a fountain. It's a well and a bucket. Yeah, it's a well. So it's going down. So it's that energy of going down and drawing up. Oh, that's interesting. So that would be like an interesting thing to contemplate. You know that's in a way how these things work, how these pictures work. They work on you, and they create your own in your own associations start to emerge.
Quite appropriate,
yeah.
The well as a whole.
Yeah.
no bucket, no rope.
No, that's right. So that's interesting, isn't it? So that's the thing that's not there is interesting, really. So I think that's the whole. So that in a way, that's the point of these alchemical kind of diagrams. You something energizes them, and then you pursue that. You get interested in it. Well, that's right. You'd have to kind of, in a way, there's a sort of. Well, one of the things that generally is interesting about it, anyway. Okay, and I think that for me, that hints at it. It's a very static form. This. It shows you the elements, but there's not much movement in it. Mm. Some alchemical pictures, you see things happening, and this is sort of like a. It's sort of like a template that isn't active. And of course it isn't active because you have to put yourself into it and bring the elements together. Mm. So for me, I suppose, if I look at that thing, I say, well, of course, the well's not operative. Mm. Nobody's working it. Nobody's engaging with it.
It's also interesting that the figure with the lyre has got his legs showing and all the others are covered.
I know. It's interesting, isn't it?
That's good. The others are women. He's male. The others are and he's wearing a sort of short tunic. The others are women.
All of them.
Would it be Orpheus, or would they be thinking it's somebody else? Or?
They probably think it was Orpheus because they've given him a lyre, and Orpheus is normally depicted by a lyre. Hard to tell, but because it's a 16th century piece. Orpheus is a Greek musician, so demigod. Who charms by the powers of his lyre can charm all the animals of the earth, and
to the depths.
Yeah, that's right.
Could be Orpheus and the nine muses, but then six of them underground and three of them overground. Would that make any sense?
I don't know. We don't. I mean, obviously, it's one of these. The thing about alchemical pictures is they just. We don't even know whether this was just bundled in with a manuscript called the Hermetic Museum. So we don't even know who did it or what. So we haven't got much. We don't have much in the way of supporting evidence for knowing what the original artist intended. Is it could there could have been something like that around it? But it's just hard to know. With our nine figures, is true. So it could have been something to do with the muses. So I don't know. But in a sense, the whole point about it is that you get interested in what you get interested in a sense. But I suppose the reason why I've used it and chosen to bring it in at this point is because it just very usefully for me is a good visual summary of this discipline of Esh Mezeref, of the inner fire, of the purifying fire. Because the thing about all this stuff about me. You know, and I suppose the theme of this weekend is making this work your own, so we have to get kind of quite simple with it. So the thing I like about the exercise with the angels and it's an exercise. It's a full discipline, really. That's got a lot of possibilities in it, and yet you don't need much more than just that simple kind of exercise. All you need then is to follow the process. And in a way, what's useful about this image is it's a good sort of visual reminder of what you're doing. Because what you're doing is connecting the surface with the deep. We're bringing this energy of the new sun in. And so we have these figures, just as in the mound, these figures emerge. So the figures that would be in your mound, if you like, would be the figures that you meet in your mound. The persistent figures, so it could be the deep mother, the puka, the kind of, so they will be the figures that will assemble in your mound. We're creating this new sun image, which sometimes you know, depending on what you're doing the exercise, you might be that figure if you're basing it on your body. So you're the figure in a way holding the opposites together, or you might be out on one of the edges. One of the interesting things you can do with this discipline, if you do it we might do this afternoon actually, is to Actually, we could do that. There's five of you. We'll do that. We'll have one of you standing in for each one of the angels and one person standing in the center. Because what you can do is to focus on one bit of the process. So if you look at the whole process, say from the point of view of the Archangel Raphael in the east, you'll be looking from the direction of the beginning of things. If you look at from the opposite direction, the direction of the west where the sun is setting, you're looking from the direction of where things are ending. If you're looking at the direction from the direction of Michael, you're looking from the place of light and noon and summer. If you stand for Auriel, you're looking from the direction of winter. So you're examining this alchemical process from different directions. If you look at the set, you're standing at the center point. You're looking at the place where they all come together and the place where the new sun arises.
So how do you empty the sphere? You can bring other things into it then?
Like what? What would you bring in?
Apart from the new sun, other things and situations.
Well, they well things will then should then. Yeah. Well, things will then because the idea of as you bring the as yeah. Well, you let the, and you let the angels do that. The thing about the clearing out process is you ask the angels to do it. Don't try and do it with your mind. Don't try and make something quiet. Right, the whole intention of this is that you're working with your intention and deep intention and deep imagination. So you just simply ask the angels to clear the space. Don't try and put energy into it yourself. You let the angels do that. The whole practice of this, it's a practice of inner stillness and cooperation, right? So so at the moment when the new sun appears, things will appear into it. You don't normally consciously need to put things in. You can right at the beginning have an intention for that. So if you're going to, I want to work on, I don't know, my relationship with my body or something. So you would set that intention at the beginning, and I wanted to do this, and then you would just do it with that overall intention in mind. But you wouldn't be consciously adding things in at the point that you're doing it. You let the whole field take care of that. Because what you're doing is surrendering into it. So the basic steps of the exercise is you decide first of all where you're basing the sphere. Are you going to base it on your heart, or are you going to base it in somewhere in the room? So that's the point where you set your intention. So if you are wanting to do it for a very particular reason rather than a more general reason, you would think to yourself, I would like to do this exercise because I want to explore such and such. Having set your intention, you then forget about it. You don't consciously go back to it. So what you then do is to create the field around you. You invite in you get present first of all in your body, present, locate yourself in space. If you're going to be at the center of it, the sphere is going to form around you. If you're going to base it somewhere else in the room, you're going to be sitting somewhere in relationship to the sphere. But you then simply ask the angels to come and hold the sphere and let their wings expand so that you are held in this sphere of wings. Then you ask them to clean the sphere. You just ask them to do that, mentally, physically, whatever way works. And they'll do that in whatever way they do. You don't try and make that happen. And then you bring your attention down into the base of the sphere, into the place where the wings are knotted together. You invite that to open and invite the earth fire to rise. You do a similar thing then with the above and the star fire. You just keep witnessing the energies coming together and the new sun or the new energy of the center arising at the center. And then you just sit with it. You just allow yourself to be affected by the energies. And you spontaneously allow yourself. So if you're sitting at the edge, sometimes you might find yourself drawn into the center. Or you might find yourself the energy of the sun directing you to another part of the circle. Or sometimes the sun becomes enormous and fills the whole space. Sometimes it becomes very small and very concentrated and brings you into a very concentrated place. So the main thing that you do then is just you allow yourself to respond to the field that's been created. And you let yourself sort of sink into it. And at a certain point, you'll be aware that the work has somehow completed itself, that the energies will, the dynamic of the axis and the center will start to fade. And you then just thank the angels, ask them to open the sphere out. And as they open the sphere, then you release the energies into the world in whatever way feels right to you. It is that simple. It's an exercise that has all kinds of things can come into it.
Could you spell her? Is
Esh Mezarav. A E S C H.
A.
A E S C H. C H. It's Esh. Esh. It's in Hebrew. It's Aleph Shin Keth. It's C H E T H. Means fire. So that means fire.
A E S C H.
A E S C H.
Esh.
Esh. A E S C H.
Then what's the other bit?
Mezarav, Mezareph.
Mezareph.
No, Mezareph. Hang a second, I've lost the plum, losing the plum. Mezareph. Mezareph. They're Hebrew. I'll draw them this afternoon. Because they...
Is that anything to do with the chant we did?
Right, the chant, yes, it's got a... The, it's not that particular phrase, but the chant that we did is... the E-R-O-A is... E-R-O-A. So that's the chant that we did. The slightly different chant we did. A. That's the Hebrew name of God, Yod-Heh-Vau-Heh, pronounced in its older form. Because the different effect, it's got a different effect than the normal one that we do, creates a field that's very similar. It recreates this field of the four elements and the center and the axis, actually. So the normal chant E R O O U U U is, so it's the first E is in the east, I is the south, R is the west, O is the north, and the rising tone U U U depicts the axis and the center. So that the chant that we normally use, that we've been using all right from the beginning of this, is an auditory depiction of the same exercise with the angels. Right. So it's E I O. So it creates the whole feel. So
E is north.
No, first E is east, E, I is south, R is west, O is north. First, low U is beneath, high U is above, middle U is the center point. So we've been doing this exercise with the angels and the center and the axis right from the beginning, though you haven't known it, because it's there in the chant. The other chant that I use, the other represents the energy of the new sun. It's a different chant. It's used with the vowel sounds, but it's E-A-W-A. It's the new energy arising from the center. It's a generative energy that comes out of the center point. It's not creating the external field. So one way you could do the exercise without even without visualizing it is that you would just do the chant. E I O O. And then you would do do you feel a difference between the two chants? Right, big difference. So one chant opens the field and creates this space, holding space. The other one is this kind of, this is like the two dragons chasing each other, right? That it's that right in the center that's working whatever's there.
It's kind of the bottom of the cauldron, is that the
Well, I suppose you'd call it, it would be the center point of the cauldron, really. It's the point where the energy is working, You know, if we use the cauldron imagery there for the moment, you'd have the cauldron and the sword aligned together. The point at which the sword and the cauldron come together is the place where the new energy is arising. Mm. So not from the bottom, not from the top, yeah. In the center point.
Yeah. Expands.
That's right, exactly. Yes, it absolutely has that. That's right.
Yeah.
So the other thing to do in terms of this practice is you can just work with the two chants, work with the one we've been working with for ages.
Sorry, I didn't write it down. Could you just give me the second one,
chanting
today's chant again?
E-R-O-A, E-R-O-A. So you write it E-R-O-A. Okay. It's not extended, so that's a center point chant. It's not extended into the directions. So if I'll just do the two chants again just to get the feeling of it, because that's the important, and then we'll stop for a bit of lunch. But so the first chant is E-I-O-O. Keep that chant going, that one. You keep the other one going. Now change to the other one. E-I-O-A, 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 You do, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Right, that's exactly what happens, right? So that's what happens in the exercise. As the new sun appears, that becomes the place of dynamic energy. That's the place where you go and you respond to. Yeah. The rest of the field is, you know, is just there. You let it be there. It's the containing field.
The clearing of the field.
No, the clearing of the field has already happened. No, that's the transformation process. That's the alchemizing process. The clearing of the field, if in the chant place, happens, it's just in the chant. Right, because actually the repetition of the chant clears the field.
Mm.
You're not consciously engaging it. Most of the time you've been doing it, you have no idea what you've just been doing it as a chant and having the effect it has. But the effect of that chant is to create this kind of sphere and create a stillness, which we've then worked on worked with in different ways. Normally what we have done is then followed that by the Amma Ima Amen chant. Now which is also a chant that brings opposites together. Amma is the deep mother, the still mother. Ima is the mother and the son of light fused together, the masculine and the feminine come together. The Amen is the energy of the new sun. It's the energy of will. So the other way you can do that without using the new chant is you can follow the first chant with Amma, Ima, Amen. The deeper mother, the mother filled with light and the energy of the new creation coming into the world. Lots of ways to do this. And it's whatever you feel drawn to, okay, is the idea of it. Let's get drawn to lunch just now, because then we'll come back to this afternoon and do some more work on it.